The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Two Chairs No Waiting, episode number 340. Who is Aunt B? Two Chairs No Waiting is brought to you each week by the fine folks over at Weaver's Department Store. Drop by over at Weaver's and check out some of the great Mayberry items they got there. A lot of t-shirts are being sold this summer. Get you a Mayberry Union High t-shirt to wear with pride as school starts back. What better to wear? Over at weaversdepartmentstore.com. Two Chairs No Waiting is also brought to you by donations from listeners just like you. The executive producer of tonight's episode is my wife, Jan. Thank you to the Mayberry Band for that wonderful rendition of Stars and Stripes Forever. Thank you for being here for part of the podcast. And I am your host, Alan Newsom, for Two Chairs No Waiting. Wow, we've been doing this 340 episodes. I don't know, it's since 2008, a long time. But it's always great. It's great to be able to share a little bit of Mayberry stuff with you that you might not have known or maybe you've not heard before or heard in a different way. It's hard to believe that I've done 340 episodes about a show that's over 55 years old or right around 55 years old. But it seems like I'm always able to come up with something new and different to tell you about, or at least stuff I've forgotten I've told you. Some of you may have remembered things that I have completely forgotten over the years. And if that's the case, I thank you for remembering it. One of the reasons I do the podcast is to record my own voice telling me stories so that someday I can listen to them and remember. Because often I find out there's things I did not recall. I forgot that completely. So we're going to be doing, as I said, in the past episodes, we've done a few episodes in the past here. We did episode 333 about who is Opie Taylor, and 329 about who's Andy Taylor, and 330 was who is Barney Fife. Because I feel like we've done a lot of episodes of the podcast that are very deep for Andy Griffith Show fans who are really into the show. And so I think it's pretty nice to do some episodes that are for the more casual friend that loves the show, but is not quite as big of a fanatic fan as some of the others of us might be. And you know what? When we talk about some of these things, it's pretty amazing things that we didn't know or don't remember. So I've been working to put together an article about Aunt B. Taylor. Now, where I placed that article and where I've kind of put it together, I drew a lot of it from over at Wikipedia, actually. And then I went through and changed the article because you can, part of Wikipedia is you can actually use their information and change it and edit it. So what I did is I went out and took most of that article, but I changed it a lot because often when you read the articles at Wikipedia, they're not really sensitive to fans of a particular show or something like that. So they're sometimes a little mean or they say things different than we would here in Mayberry. So hopefully I captured that and we will be able to just give you a little bit of a history about who is Aunt B. Okay. So we're going to head over that direction right now. And I'm going to show you the article if you're watching the video. And if you're not, you'll be able to read along, or if you want to, you can head over to imayberry.info and look for Aunt B. Taylor. You can search for it, and you can read this article yourself. Or you can add to it. If you find things that were incorrect or things that you think should be corrected, you're more than welcome. So the article is a very good article, I think, and it's pretty neat to read some stuff about Aunt B. that I didn't recall. So let's head on over there. I'm going to get a little background music going. There it is. Aunt B top background music. Isn't that nice? All right, so I'm going to head over there and I'm going to start reading about Aunt B. All right. Beatrice Taylor, commonly known as Aunt B, is a resident of the town of Mayberry, North Carolina, as we see on the Andy Griffith Show. Aunt B spent two seasons on the spinoff Mayberry RFD after that as well. But let's head on over and talk about who Aunt B really is. Aunt B has family. We already know that. Got Andy Taylor, her nephew. Opie Taylor is her great-nephew. Florence is a sister. Ellen, E-L-L-E-N. Ellen is a sister who lives over in Raleigh. Nora is her youngest sister, the baby, and she is married to Ollie. Bradford J. Taylor. You remember Bradford Taylor? He's her cousin. We got Edgar, cousin Edgar. His wife is Maud, and they live over in Mount Pilot. Got Martha, is her niece. And that's Andy's second cousin, by the way. And Martha's sister's name is Grace. So that's some of the family members we know of that are Aunt B's family. Aunt B is a paternal aunt of Sheriff Andy Taylor. And she's the great aunt to Andy's son, Opie, as we just said. We first met Aunt B when she returned to Mayberry after 5-year absence, where she had lived in Morgantown, West Virginia. Aunt B's housekeeper, Rose, had gotten married and left Andy and Opie without a caregiver, so Aunt B returned to manage Andy's household and to become a mother figure for Opie's life. Andy explains to Opie that he was also raised by Aunt B. Aunt B later mentions having raised other children, but we never really learned any more about that part of her life. Aunt B's well known in Mayberry for her cooking skills. She's known for fried chicken with all the trimmings and for her amazing, wholesome, home-cooked meals. She frequently contributes meals to the community or church events and brings picnic baskets of food to Mayberry's county jail for its lawmen and the inmates. While Aunt Bee celebrated for her cuisine, she somehow falls short in making pickles and marmalade. Andy and Barney go so far as to one time refer to her pickles as kerosene cucumbers. Not to her face, of course. Andy's fond of her pork chops and breaded biscuits and her cornbread biscuits. And Opie's favorite is her butterscotch pecan pie. Aunt Bee has other relatives that she enjoys sharing stories about. Like when she trimming her brother's hair when she was a girl. And, you know, and we talked about her sister, Nora. She came to town and visited for a short visit, and as did Bradford Taylor, though she tries not to talk about him too often. Aunt B, well, she's a teetotaler. She never drinks. But one time, a traveling salesman came to Mayberry peddling elixir that she really enjoyed. Andy tells Barney that Aunt B is heavily against alcohol due to her brother's trouble with the bottle. It's unclear whether this brother is meant to be Andy's father or Andy's uncle, but I'd have to say it's probably his uncle. Couldn't say for sure. Aunt B took the elixir, as did several other ladies there in Mayberry, and they got, as Andy put it, gassed. In the end, the ladies learned what the elixir was really made of, and they turned away from their drinking ways. Aunt B plays the piano, and she encourages Opie to play the piano. She's a religious lady and is known to speak about being baptized. She is a member of the town council and or town choir, and she sings in church. During the early 60s, between 1960 and 65 or somewhere in there, Aunt B was unlucky in love, and she often fell for men whom, she needed Andy's help in order to extricate herself from. As the decade progressed, though, toward the end of the 60s, Aunt B's suitors became more respectable gentlemen and included a retired congressman, a clergyman, and a distinguished professor. Aunt B's evolution in personality is reflected in her style of dress as well. In the early 60s, we saw her wearing house dresses and fruit and flower decorated hats and ladylike white gloves for venturing outside the house. Later in the 60s, we saw Aunt Bee discard her more frumpy wardrobe and step into more stylish attire, even going so far as wearing a wig one time. An even more drastic evolution of her character than the change in her taste in men and wardrobe is about her liberation from being just a homemaker role at Andy's house. As the 60s progressed, Aunt Bee left the Taylor kitchen to open her own restaurant to host a television show on cooking, to run for office. She even bought a car, and believe it or not, she took flying lessons. Andy and Opie were sometimes left home to prepare their own meals. Horror of horrors. Oh, my. They, in spite of her sudden spirit of independence, Bee never quite made a complete break from taking care of Opie and Andy, because she received the most joy from that, and it was her greatest reward. Aunt Bee watched as Opie grew from about 6 years old to 14. And when Andy's longtime girlfriend, Helen Cupp, and him got married in the very late 60s, Aunt Bee opted to give them, the newlyweds, their own space and to become a housekeeper for farmer Sam Jones. He was another widowed father, by the way, and he and his young son, Mike, she'd take care of them. She moved into the Jones farm, and given time, Aunt Bee, who was always the lady, she learned to feed livestock and gather her own eggs. The following year, Andy and Helen moved to Raleigh, North Carolina. And Aunt Bee stayed there on the Jones farm for about 2 years, and then she, too, moved away. Now, we've already talked about some of her romances, but beginning the year, I guess about the first year after we met her, Aunt Bee had at least one flirtation. It rarely was a true romance, but she had about one a year for several years. I thought you might enjoy remembering them. One of the first ones was Mr. Henry Wheeler. Mr. Wheeler. He was a handyman that drove around looking for work and used Aunt Bee's vulnerability to cage himself free meals and shelter at the Taylor's home. Now, later came along Fred Goss. There's a chain-smoking dry cleaner there in Mayberry. And Aunt Bee dated him. She believed her stay-at-home lifestyle kept Andy from pursuing his chances for dating and marrying. So she began a dating relationship with Mr. Goss. And luckily, thanks to Opie, that situation was cleared up as well. Colonel Harvey was the next man to come through town. That he was a traveling medicine man, if you don't remember. He sold Aunt Bee 2 bottles of his Indian elixir. Aunt Bee got tipsy, and Colonel Harvey landed in jail. Briscoe Darling eventually comes down out of the hills and becomes smitten with Aunt Bee and carries her off to his cabins. Andy ended up rescuing Aunt Bee, but not before she had made Briscoe's life miserable and, in his word, about beat him to death with that spoon. Roger Hanover was an old friend from out of town, but friend of Aunt Bee's. He visited Mayberry and sticks around the Taylor house, and knowing Andy distrusts him, he finally threatens that he had proposed to Aunt Bee unless Andy pays him to leave. Well, Andy outsmarted him, and Aunt Bee never intended to have anything but some fun with Roger and never intended marriage, so she put him on his way. Next came Orville Hendricks. He was the butter and egg man who Aunt Bee, she pretended to be dating him. She was goaded on by Clara when she decided Andy needed more space to pursue romance with Helen. She buttered him up and he egged her on. But it was never a real relationship. John Canfield. Now, that was a man, a retired congressman, that dated Aunt B until the two become just completely exhausted from their whirlwind of activities. They were wearing each other out. He had the Reverend Legton. I'm sure I didn't say his name right. He was a visiting pastor, if you'll remember. He was impressed with B and considers accepting a parish near Mayberry. And B thought that she would think less of him when he found out she was wearing a wig, which I mentioned earlier. Then you got Herbert St. John, who was a visiting lecturer, who became smitten with Aunt B because she resembled his deceased wife. Now, those are some of the romances Aunt B had. I think it's all of them, but they all bring back good memories and great times we had there with the Taylor home. I should one other person that had been mentioned, and that's Clara, Aunt B's closest friend in Mayberry, was the widow, Clara Edwards. Although Clara was a well-meaning woman, she often provoked Aunt B and became her rival for attentions of single men or older or gentlemen passing through Mayberry. She always was buying with Aunt B for cooking contest wins and flower show placing. And, you know, she replaced Aunt B, if you'll remember, in the town pageant when Aunt B realizes she's not really very good at theatrics. Clara and B attended school together as girls. They went to Sweetbriar Normal School, even playing on the same basketball team. They composed an anthem celebrating the good life in Mayberry and vacationed in Mexico with their friend, Mert. Clara is sometimes a little bit, I don't know, petty and jealous of Aunt B. Often she ruined some of Aunt B's pleasures and one small thing or another. But in the end, Aunt B couldn't have a better friend than Clara. So that's a little bit about what we know about Aunt B. And I hope you guys enjoyed hearing about that, because it's always fun to visit with our Mayberry friends and to just remember just some of the things that they did throughout their lives and the things we got to get to know them a little bit about. But one of the songs they wrote together, I think we ought to hear. So let's go ahead and hear this.
My hometown is the greatest place I know, where the neighbors I find are gentle and kind, and the living
folks. That's a great song that Clara and Aunt B wrote together and performed by Kiwi Hazleton. And so I hope you enjoyed it. That's just a little bit of a flashback into the life of Aunt B and the people of Mayberry. And I hope you enjoyed that. And it just reminds you a little bit about what makes Mayberry so special. And it's really family, isn't it? It's the family that you grow up with. It's a family that loves you. And those are the reasons, I think, that the people of Mayberry are special, because they remind us of those wonderful things in our life that make us feel so welcome. So, folks, I would love to hear from you. Give me a call at 888-684-8415. What do you remember about Mayberry? What makes you have that warm Mayberry spirit of a feeling? I'd love to hear it. You can email me at floyd@imayberry.com or call me, like I said. Or you can drop by 2chairsnowaiting.com and leave a message there. I would love to hear from you. So until next time, everybody, have a great Mayberry week. And find some Mayberry in your life that gives you that same my hometown type feeling. We'll see you next time.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.